what folks have to say.
Okay, the first one is area code 828. You are on the air. Hi.
Hi, it's Monica. How are you?
Oh, well, welcome in, lady. We're rocking. How about you?
I'm making banana bread, so I'm rocking too.
Ooh. Do workies on jealousy.
Oh.
We're not going to get to taste any.
Not this time. I just wanted to ask Dr. Kim and Susan to explain what they were talking about in terms of some kind of class or course. It sounded kind of interesting, but I obviously missed the original time when it was brought up on the show. So anyway,
well, Susan is still with us. She might be able to answer you. Susan, you're on.
Lovely. Hi, Magda. If you go to your search engine, RF. No restructuring, something or other. I can't remember what it means, but it's a whole course that you pay for. It's not exorbitant. I mean, 6 months of instruction, which you can drag out for a year. Of instruction, lots of videos. It's how to rewire your brain wiring, limbic system. I'm just learning about it. I just started, you know, got all the way into it and is using it with good results already. And I thought, no, what is doing?
Awesome.
I've signed up for it, and it's a huge commitment of time, but then again, Kim and I don't have jobs, like, you know, we're busy, but we have time. It's a great luxury to have this time. DNRS.
It stands for Dynamic Neural Retraining System.
Oh. Thank you, Judy. It starts you off explaining what the limbic system is and how you can have it compromised for many reasons, like an illness or trauma or environmental challenges like mold in your house. I mean, you can compromise and upset your limbic system from any angle and get it to the point where even if you have a tiny little suggestion of like mold, you overreact. And that's like trauma reactions. I mean, Michael's been teaching this stuff, and we've been undoing and changing neural pathways using the wake-up sheet and using the mind shifter tool and all that stuff. So we've been doing it. But this is just a different language, and it's going into my brain in a different way. So I'm very excited about it. But I'm not going to abandon my... the deep well that's been dug here with this work, let me tell you.
I hear you. You don't give up one great thing for the possibility of something else being good.
It reminds me of when Michael's mother had a stroke, and she was paralyzed on one side. And Michael spent 2 weeks, like, he would push her foot, and he'd say, think about what, you know, that feels like, let's get your brain rewired to move your foot, because the part of her brain that normally did it wasn't working. And she walked out of there on a walker.
Wow.
That's just the idea.
Wow.
One of the videos that they have us listen to is Jill Bolte Taylor, the woman who had a stroke, and she's a brain scientist. So she said, oh my God, how lucky am I? I'm having a stroke. And I'm a brain scientist. I get to study myself and my own brain. What a wonderful woman. But one of the videos they show is about how she came to understand what was happening to her, and it took her 8 years to find her way back to mobility and being able to speak, and she gives this TED Talk. You would love it. Jill Bolte, B-O-L-T-E, Taylor. That'll blow your mind, Magda, if you haven't heard that one. She's totally
charming. Here she went through this trauma, and there's not an ounce of self-pity or blame in it. She just is so excited about the whole thing.
Chuck and I came across that information in her story many years ago, actually. It's just remarkable. So it gives us hope, lots of hope. Okay, well, great. Thank you, Susan. And Michael and Janie, I will just get back to making my bread, and I'll be listening, okay?
All right, enjoy. Blessings.
Blessings to all of you. Bye-bye.
All right. And Miss Susan, how do you be?
Being okay, the saga goes on, but the work is helping very much, so I feel as if I'm okay. I'm just able to ride the waves a lot better than I would have otherwise. Thanks for asking. How are you guys doing?
Lots of garden time. It's a little chilly here today, but it looks like winter's officially over. Are we good? The 10-day forecast, we don't have one frosty night left, so we're hoping
that's
it stays
good.
That way.
Yep. That's great.
But all is well, rock and roll.
That's great. And you too, Jeannie?
Doing very well, thank you.
All right, well, you have a blessed day. Can you see you from the Amanda?
Yes. Okay. And I believe it's Miss Salita 541. You're on the air.
Sure.
Yes.
Welcome. You made it.
Yeah, of course I did. Even though their power went out this morning. That's probably Jeannie told you.
Yes.
The whole valley was out. Yeah, pretty exciting.
So what's on your mind for today?
Well, it's a leftover from Susan talking with Dr. Tim, and they were talking about was Jesus real or not real in this book that she had just read, which I think she said was The Myth of Jesus, but I don't remember for sure what its title is. They were talking about myth and the how Susan was mentioning. I thought it was a very bright insight. How the child is a myth on a feeling level, not a knowing level. And that feeling level very often stays long. Just a bunch of hooey. I never did look at Yeshua's cross, whether he was a perennial wisdom or whether he was actually a person, it didn't matter. So, and it brought me to realizing how we lock ourselves down when we get into survival, because survival is, it's either this way or it's that way. Like, for me, it doesn't matter whether Jesus was a real person. Excuse me, or whether he was a mythological figure representing a perennial truth. The fact is, I have a froggy in my throat, just a second. The fact is that the truth is still there, and that myth still guides me into deeper and deeper wisdom. And I don't have to make some sort of decision that says, this is true, this isn't true, because I never will know. And that's not the point.
Until you use it.
Until
and when you use it, you see that it works, then you'll know.
That's it. But that knowing comes from our life experience and for our awareness that this is true for me. And so we just leave all of that debate behind about who's right and who's wrong, the same sort of debate that scientists get into when they come to believe that their theories are the ultimate final truth. And they're not. They're just this waiting to be disproven or upheld.
Yep. Cool.
I just thought I'd share that because it was a great comfort to me to know I don't have to make an either-or decision. There's a whole rainbow of choices out there. And the proof is always in the seal. The proof is always in the pudding.
Yep. Take the tools at home and watch the results.
That's the
most profound way to approach it that I know of.
I love it when you and Dr. Tim and Jeannie says, don't believe a word I say. I'm starting to say that myself, and maybe I'll grow into the actual understanding and reality of don't believe a word I say. This is just my experience. Find out for yourself.
Well, joining you in living the experience and living the dream.
Yes, sir.
Instead of nightmares.
And I'm envious about your gardening. And we may be closer in zoning than I thought for the USDA growing zone, because we are now beginning to warm up. And so that's pretty exciting. So
yes,
I'm with you, and I hope to garden today.
Cool. Have a blessed one.
You as well. And you too, Susan.
All right. Ms. G, do we have anything else happening in the chat room, or anybody else from the phone queue with the hand up?
It's quiet in the chat room. Jamuna, do you want to do the call-in again today since we missed it yesterday? Okay. Let's see how this works now.
We'll do a test here. Jamuna.
Yeah, this is the first call-in.
Let's see how this works.
All right. All right, Jamuna, let's see if we can hear you.
Hi, can you hear me? Am I low?
You're very low.
Yes.
Can you hear me better now? No. Okay, hold on.
I heard you say, do you hear me? But that's the last I heard. Right.
How's this?
Oh, much better. We're going to get feedback, but let's see how it goes.
Oh, there's feedback?
Well, it's because I have a microphone and a speaker both going right now.
Oh,
so
okay.
Let's see how it works.
Hi. Well, you know, today it's very rainy right now in Honolulu, so I'm sure Eagle would love to hear that. Because anyway, so no gardening for me. But I don't know. I was
no gardening in Hawaii.
No gardening. Well, at least in Honolulu on Oahu. So. Because it's rainy. But anyway, I don't know. How are you today?
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm pretty good. I just wanted to, you know, I was doing really good until...
Did we lose you?
Wait.
I show you're still on, but I showed... Oh, it was a little mute button came up. But try it again.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Not hearing you.
Oh, boy. Huh, that's so... Hello?
Looks like this isn't going to work.
She hung up on that, so maybe she'll try to call back in. Oh, here she's going to try it again. Let's see what happens.
All right, let's try it.
Try it again.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, good. Okay. Good. I left and came back, and I'm so sorry, everybody, that I don't know. But, yeah, so I'm doing pretty well because I was doing, you know, good. And then the other day, I the only way I know how to be is just very honest. So I'm just going to put this out there. Like, I'm not going to be rude or anything. I don't think. But anyway, you know, I was at, we have like a Long's Drugs. It's part of CVS here in Hawaii. And I was, you know, shopping and, you know, I've been doing really good my practice stuff, of course, something occurs that brings up some trauma in me, which I recognize it was trauma. And I've been going there for years, and I'm shopping, and the security guard is like following me, yeah, and not making it like inconspicuous. She's following me. And finally, I just like stopped. And I realized like everywhere I moved, she was with me. I said, "Are you following me?" And so anyway, to make a long story short, she is. And I'm like, "Why?" Like, so anyway, I went to the manager and I like said, "Hey, you know, this girl says she's following me. I don't know why. I've been coming here for years and it ain't right." So anyway, a little thing like, there was dialogue back and forth. I stayed as senator as I could. I said, "Hey, sis," because I could tell she was local. And I was like, "You know, you're not doing your job. You're being annoying. And who told you to follow me?" And she wouldn't say. So anyway, it just brought up a lot of stuff in me. Like, why? Like, you know, there's other people.
What a nice gift.
Go ahead. Huh? Go ahead.
I say, what a nice gift if it brought all that stuff up for you. I mean, how many different worksheets do you have the opportunity to do about maybe being trusted and people being honest? It sounds like there'd be some good grist for the mill there.
Yes, I am. You know, like, people can't see me, my body, but I'm like, I'm mixed race, yeah? But I'm thinking, this is Hawaii, and it's a local girl. Why is she following me around? And I said, "Social profiling?" And she said, "No." And I don't think it was. I think that she's just not trained good. And it's like, if you're going to jump off a bridge, if someone tells you to jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge too. You know, that's what I'm thinking back in my head. But anyway, it just brought up a lot of trauma in me about, like, the past, about, you know, people, you know, like racism, which is, you know.
Being trusted because you're mixed race.
Yeah, like, you know, certain stuff. Like, I was wearing, like, a head wrap. Mm-hmm. People were, like, profiling me. So it brought all that up. And then, you know, and I'm like, man, this is an interesting situation I created. But I was able to recognize that, you know, I have to look at it if I really want to heal, because I'm doing a lot of, you know, inner work. So this is another part that my, you know, the Holy Spirit wants me to see, which is beautiful. But I'll tell you, man, the ego was triggered. But I yeah.
Yep, I hear you.
At least I didn't react as bad as I used to in the past, in the younger form of me. I know you say I'm a young lady, but I was younger at one point.
What would the energy that would exude from you in that situation have been in the past? Would there have been some form of hostility, or?
I was looking at it, and I wanted to tie this into the generational thing too. I don't know. I thought maybe it was a little generational. That's another reason why I brought it up. But I think that, you know, what I was seeing was that I still had that I think it was more like doubt. Like, more like a doubt, which is hostility. Like a doubt. And so I'm projecting it out there. And so it gets reflected as I'm being followed. Like there's something wrong with me, which is a deep one. You know what I mean? So I was able to...
Often that's a core power person message, or something wrong with you.
I know.
It can be, you know, a direct family thing as well.
What'd you say?
I say that can be a direct family thing as well. The thought comes up of, you know, something wrong with me. That's oftentimes a message that comes from a power person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe some worksheets around your power person might be beneficial there.
Yeah, I think so, because I have a feeling like, too, when I was kind of asking Holy Spirit about it, I felt that it was like, you know, I know yesterday you were talking about generational dynamics, and I was like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I definitely feel that. So I definitely need to do some worksheets on that. Yeah. So I don't know. That's
well, we'll hold the space for that to happen. And
yeah. Yeah, and then I could
open a space for the healing of the racist dynamic, of the generational dynamic, and you know, one of the beauties of each person that chooses to do their work is they open the energy window for everybody. And to me today, that is so important because there's so much trauma going on for so many people that have no idea that what they're experiencing is inside of them, and that there's an opportunity to work through whatever it is. So thanks for being willing. It's awesome.
Yeah, I just maybe next week I can share some more insights that I got through the worksheets. That's what I just felt like sharing. I don't know. I hope it was helpful for somebody, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but I, you know. Yeah.
Makes a good point.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Makes a good point. So we'll hold the space and join you in healing.
Yes.
You know, when you look at the racist dynamic on the planet that's been so crazy, insane, and that once we're brainwashed with prejudices because nobody's born with them, it can be a tough thing to work through, both the abuser's side and the abused side of it. So holding space literally for that whole dynamic on a global scale, because it's been so horrific around the world. That the suffering that anyone who's ever been a racist abuser is alleviated, and that anyone who has ever been abused by a racist, that their suffering is alleviated. You know, focusing in the presence of love in that direction and holding space for the work you're getting ready to do.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Michael.
Thank you guys for listening.
All right. Have a blessed one. Any other thoughts?
No. That's about it. And I look forward to next week sharing some of the things that I was shown and I'm healing through the worksheets.
Cool. Awesome. Extending love in your direction, young lady.
Thank you.
By the way, when I put forward that idea of young lady, young man, my knowledge is, and it's in part informed, you've probably heard me talk about it before, we brought it up recently on the show, of a medical conference I went to several decades ago where the speaker was from a place in Ohio called the Good Courcy Clinic in Cincinnati, and their conclusion after doing medical research said, time is not toxic. Time has no effect on human tissue under any conditions. It is a belief in the effect of time that access that I put out regarding this illusion of age and time. I affirm each person their youth. And so I seriously mean and hold the space of seeing you as that youth, and in doing so, my part of my intention is to give that same gift to myself, because I was brainwashed by the culture just like pretty much everybody else. Like, well, we're supposed to get old and decrepit and die. And I feel in terms of my own process with the way that I've looked at that issue, literally I'm younger now, I'm healthier now, I have with all the early illness I went through as a kid, I mean, I feel like shifting the mind energy is a really important thing to do, and so each time I put that salutation onto someone, I'm shifting it in and for myself, as well as acknowledging that shift for whoever I'm speaking to, so seeing you in your eternal youthfulness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. So, remember, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, it's 563-999. If you call that that number, you'll be listening to the show directly on your phone. And then, if you push 1, through the magic of technology, a little hand will go up in the control panel, and Jeanine, what do you want to speak to us? So, Jeanine, do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up, or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's all quiet.
All right. Well, then we're on page 78 in the Enlightenment book, the translation work we've done from the Kabor's manuscript. So we've been going through the dictionary and looking at some of the key ideas from the Aramaic language. And actually, I think I may have switched a page there. So looking at the top of page 78, carob, which is a chocolate substitute. No, that's different carob. But in Aramaic, and you know, in terms of developing the ability to have a mind that can conceive as the Aramaic speaking mind conceived, this word neighbor speaks not only of those that are physically close, but those that are mentally near to us. So physical and mental closeness is the principal element of the word. Also included is the operating self. So neighbor in the text designates not only others of whom one is aware or near, but also the operating self. So you're your own neighbor. When Yeshua speaks of, in order for you to live, you've got to die, he's addressing the true self, and then what, in this context, we're offering is the operating self, or the ego self, or the structure in the mind. And that is a neighbor to you. And the objective of that passage where we were told that we were supposed to love our neighbors was not about, it really wasn't about anything to do with the neighbor. It was about the obligation was to keep the presence of love in your mind, not loving your neighbor, but being the presence of love when you interact with anyone who is mentally or physically near to you, including the things that came up within your own operating self. The benefit of that being, if let's say some form of corrupt energy, corrupt out of hostility or fear, moves within your mind, within that, what we're referring to here is the operating self. If love is present, if your human life is active and present, then that corrupt data is going to begin to be dissolved. It's going to begin to be transmuted and shifted so that the false parts of it, the false understandings, the false energetic impact of those patterns will begin to dissolve. Pretty powerful concept when you realize that this idea of loving your neighbor doesn't have anything to do with your neighbor, doesn't have anything to do with what we call loving, or what most really, when they say I love you, are really talking about a rather venial form of approval. You'll notice that people will, you know, be all over somebody and how much they love them until they quote unquote love them, until that person does something they don't like. And then all of a sudden, what happens to love? That wasn't love at all. Love is the essence of our human lives. And so that passage which said to, or the Greeks translated as, love your neighbor, is really about maintain your human essence, which is the presence of love. Whoever you get near, and by so doing, you will benefit. And then the next significant piece here is the word keen, spelled two ways, K-E-A-N or K-E-E-N. And this is the mind structure, the neural structure, underlying the attitude described as just or fair behavior between man and his fellow man. So that justness and fairness becomes a possibility. This comes from the instruction that in order to have the deepest guidance that has been implanted in your mind to be active, then this principle of just and fair behavior has to be active. We head down and we hear the word kana, and that's mercy and compassion. Several examples of that.
You have another caller.
Okay,
this is another Podbean caller, so let's see if we can get Sandy online here.
Hey, hello Sandy, how are things in Poland? Glad to hear your voice, at least I hope I'm going to hear it.
I hope so too. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go, we can hear you, welcome.
Oh wow, that's amazing. I'm so glad.
What's on your mind for today? How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Your voice disappeared, okay. And you're very quiet, very low. So I'm not sure if Jamuna can give you a pointer on how to get your volume up on that.
I just turned my phone up. Does it work?
I could hear you those first few words, Sandy. So whatever you're doing, let's try it again.
Okay. So is it better now?
Can't hear you at all, Sandy, if you're speaking.
Can you hear me?
Jamuna, can you assist on how you got your volume up on yours?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear Jamuna faintly. She did write in the chat room, if you're on a speaker, it's low for some reason. If you turn off the speaker and go to the phone audio, then it worked for her.
Okay, go to phone audio.
And pardon us while we're learning this new technology that we're working with called Podbean. You will be choosing at some point in the future as to whether or not we're going to stay with Blog Talk as we are now, or whether we might make the switch to Podbean.
So Sandy, Jamuna said turn your phone volume up and turn it off of speakerphone, just go to your regular phone audio.
I'm not sure how to play.
So if you're on the cell phone, just putting the cell phone up to your ear instead of using the speaker might enhance your voice, but we can't hear a sound from you now, Sandy.
Maybe hang up and do it again.
Okay, thank you.
Well, why don't you go ahead and experiment a little bit, Sandy, and I'm going to go ahead with our conversation from the manuscript. And if you are able to move things around so that you can communicate with us, go ahead and just shout it out and we'll respond. I'll just put this on hold.
She hung up. I guess she's going to call back in and see if it works.
Okay. So I'm going to head to the bottom of the page on page 78 to the word kataya, pardon me, kata, which is a noun, which is an archery term. It is the word that's been translated as sin, or in concert with the idea of sin from the Greek translations, but it's actually an archery term. And if you read it from the dictionary, it's an archery term denoting missing the mark, mistake, deviation from a true line, a misstep, wrongdoing. And so, to get back on track is to recognize that you realign with truth and get back on target. The idea there.
Try it again, Sandy. She's back on.
Okay, I'm trying. To...
Okay. Cool.
I don't. Can you hear me?
We're not hearing the sound, Sandy.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how to taken off my loudspeaker. Maybe I'll check on how.
Jamuna said maybe you could ask your question in the chat, and then I can ask it since we're not hearing you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working, unfortunately. So if you pop your question in the chat room or your comment, we can translate for you. And it's nice to hear from you all the way from Poland. Delighted that you're with us. Anything coming through in the chat, sweetie?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm going to just carry on then with this. I'm going to minimize the time we spend. I know we've got different technology we're trying to integrate, but so if we head down on page 79, next key idea, Shuka, and this speaks of an absence of light or darkness, ignorance, really mentally dark. And so if one does not realize that their being is the active presence of love, then they have trouble being who they are, as we were informed that we're designed to be the light of the world, that we're designed to have this presence of love in our minds, and that's what keeps our minds and our perception on track. We talked quite a bit about the word Rachma earlier, and Rachma being the word that was used as opposed to being told to love our neighbors. The word in Aramaic was have Rachma for neighbors, which is a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that keeps the frontal lobes, which are where intentions are stored, on track with love. And it's the gateway, it's a dual function, it's the gateway through which love, human life, enters this human form. This is a corollary term, Kuba, and Kuba holds a similar function over the back of the brain where perception is stored. And so it's a mindset of love. It includes a desire or goal of all-embracing affection and a cue control which causes good, wholesome, and lovable, whatever is good, wholesome, and lovable about others to be perceived. Aramaic dictionaries subsequent to the 7th century tended to convert this concept to Renaissance love. And so in translating it, it starts to bring in that Greek connotation, which was not its original intent. It was literally a way, Kuba is part of a mindset that allows perception and units of perceptual memory to be used in building our guidance system. It only allows those which are key to love to be used. So, energetic patterns in the mind of irritation or threat are blocked by the activity of Kuba, and the mind, therefore, can build perceptual constructs that are based in love. And when our perceptual constructs are based in love, even though they're still from carbon-based memory, even though they're from the past, everything they feed us is going to be accurate. And so it's going to put us on track and make it a whole lot more likely that we get to literally extend ourselves out into the world and be perceived as we are. The filters that we extend ourselves out into the world to taint or touch what people perceive of us. And so if the filters that are set are those of love, they tend to reinforce people's ability to perceive you as love. And it tends to eliminate the irritation, the hostility, the threat that many minds live in, and soften that energy and bring more into alignment with the active presence of love. And interestingly, the word rachma and the word kuba together, the frontal lobes, the back, in Aramaic, would be what would be considered to be perfect love. And you remember they said, perfect love casts out fear. If rachma and kuba are sad, the mind cannot generate a fear-based reality. Fear-based realities are very traumatic to both body and mind. You know, it's recognized in medicine today that fear-based perception leaves one in a state. It's called sympathetic dominance. It's sympathetic dominance, and most people are aware of that term under with a different set of words, and it's fight, flight. And it's really fight, flight, fright, fear, and fawning. You know, the child that learns if they make one step out of line, they're in deep trouble, ends up fawning. Oh, I have to do everything perfectly to keep this person in front of me happy so that I don't get blamed, so that I don't get beat up, so that I don't get abused. And so those are all states of physiology that result in the compromising of the higher functions of the human mind and literally drain away blood flow in order to supply survival needs, i.e. to fight or run. Literally, physiologically, blood is drained away from the higher centers of the brain, from rest, digestion, elimination, and any function that is not urgent to survival. Literally, blood flow is drained away to supply that blood flow, oxygen, nutrition to the large muscles so that we can run or fight. And so, to me, that just reinforces the whole reason why we would want to understand these Aramaic concepts of rachma and kuba, and that above all, you maintain that so that you have proper rest, proper digestion, proper regeneration, proper healing, rather than fight or flight. Most people live in that chronic sympathetic dominant state, which means that being chronic, going on for long periods of time, quite literally, the blood vessels that supply the higher functions over time become compromised. They become kind of like a swamp. And the longer one spends in sympathetic dominance, the more time it's going to take to come out of that sympathetic dominant state into a balance between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And so the presence of this, which in Aramaic was called perfect love, means that you are not going to go into sympathetic dominance. Yes, if a threat comes, you'll shift there, but it doesn't become an habitual state.
We have two questions.
So this word, oh, okay, cool.
So Sandy wrote that her ex confuses her, and I said, remember that whatever comes forward is already in you. He brings up confusion that's already in you. And she said, well, he says he's happily married, and yet he keeps writing to her, like he even wrote her a happy Easter note text. And she asked him, he stopped for a while after she asked him to introduce her to his wife. But she said it's confusing for her. So what kind of worksheet can you do?
Yeah, I'd offer that you might want to do some forgiveness work around this, the double messages that come, the confusing messages that come perhaps have come from your family system, and to recognize that know, she can't confuse you. But if there's confusion in your mind, his communication can certainly bring that up. And two directions I would suggest going with that. One is to be really clear with him that you are a woman of integrity and that there is no interest in any sort of, you know, shenanigans, if that's, you know, part of what's implied to you, at least in his communications. Being really clear with that and being really clear with yourself of who you are and that you are going to stay in integrity with yourself. And then to recognize that his communications are, rather than causing you confusion, they're bringing up confusion, and that means your opportunity to learn to forgive the confusion that your mind presents. You know, if you look back over your life, how much of your life did you spend, have you spent in confusion? And so as you do the forgiveness work, you'll clear out the conflicting energies. And the way the mind works is through energetic patterns, or literally electrical frequencies. And a good metaphor for that can be the idea of light energy. I usually use an example. Let's imagine I've got a 4x8 whiteboard in front of me, and I take a red marker and I draw a circle, and I take a blue marker and I draw a circle, and I take a green marker and I draw a circle. And then I have a red, blue, and a green light. And in each case, I shine the light, the red light on the red circle, the blue on the blue, and the green on the green, and I have perfect clarity with each of those light sources and their reflections. Now, we know scientifically that there's no such thing as red, blue, and green. Red, blue, and green are interpretations of the mind. That's why some people are colorblind, because they see those frequencies, they interpret those frequencies differently than most. But imagine that where I have those three lights shone on three separate places on my whiteboard, and I've got clarity on each one of them. What happens if I shine all three lights in the same place? I've got the blue light in the middle, so I move the red light over to the blue and the green light over to the blue. Now I've got a blue light, a green light, and a red light shining on the same place. What do I have on the board? I don't have clarity with any one of those colors. What I have is a mix of those frequencies that we would call, that would be the equivalent of confusion. Well, the mind works in exactly the same way. If I have thought disorders that are resonated in a certain situation or circumstance, and my mind is aiming for truth, then I've got conflicting energies, and where they collide, where they mix, there's going to be confusion. As I apply forgiveness and remove the conflicting energies, the thought disorders, then I will come to clarity in my mind, because there's nothing in me to conflict with the preconceived ideas that I have. I make an assumption, and you have spoken to us about this before, that, you know, that perhaps you're receiving a double message that he's interested in rekindling this relationship even while he's married to someone else. I take it that's the place where your confusion surfaces. So it'd be a chance for you to clean up your confusion and a chance to communicate really clearly that you're going to be in absolute integrity, and that's just the way it is. And so it sounds like he's giving you the opportunity to do some work on getting clear in your mind as to who you are, and maybe clearing out some old confusion that's been there from other times in relationships. And if that's so, we certainly hold the space for it. I hope that makes sense, fits.
And the second question from someone else said, and this is actually from Jamuna, she says, I'd love to hear more about how others perceive us. So if we hold them...
I think I can hear you, Jeannie, but you're not coming through the sound system.
Okay. I was muted. So...
mute button. That's it.
Jamuna asks, she says, I would love to hear more about how others perceive us. So if one holds themselves as love, it can change how others perceive us?
absolutely. You know, perception, again, recognizing perception is nothing but a product of the mind and a reflection of the content of carbon-based memory. So whatever the object of attention is that we look at, you know, six different people were at an accident, they all went to court, and when you listen to them testify, you wonder if any two of them were at the same accident. Their descriptions were so different. Why is that? Because in fact, when six people are all witnesses to an accident, no two of them saw the same accident. If we're living in perception, my mind, whatever that accident council of thought triggers in me, is my perception. Someone who has different content is going to have a different perception of that event. Their mind's going to show them something different. And so taking responsibility and recognizing, especially if there's some form of hostility or fear in what's triggered in me in my own internal dynamics, gives me the opportunity to own the conflict and internal dynamics and clear them out, forgive them, literally removing them, so that I come back to not only a perceptual system that is fueled by love, but an ability to be aware beyond, eventually this is what develops, beyond one's own mind, to be aware of the energetic patterns in the actuality. And those things don't filter through perception or through carbon-based memory. Those are things that we can grasp directly. And ultimately, the objective of this work is that you can grasp directly the actual energetic patterns in the world, rather than just recognizing what those patterns resonate in you. So that's kind of one of the objectives of the work, is to clear that all out, getting rid of the past and living truly in the present. Any other thoughts or responses there, sweetie?
Not on that one, but on the other one, Sandy says, what kind of goal can she ask for in her worksheet on her confusion goal, that she wants to be in clarity? What might her goal be?
Well, so I could see you doing worksheets in several different arenas in that regard, Sandy. One of them might be goals that you hold for this person who was your former. And it might be a goal for him to be honest and be in integrity. It might be a goal for him to be true in his relationship. It might be a goal for him to treat you honorably rather than, you know, perhaps trying to seduce you for his own purposes. So they'd be some of the goals that you might work with in a worksheet around him. And then some of the goals, you know, if you did a worksheet on yourself, some of the goals in that regard might be for you to really truly be in 100% integrity with yourself, knowing that you honor his relationship with his wife and you hold that sacred. And that if there's any inclination or any part of you that would like to interfere with that, then to look at what the motivation would be behind that and look at the goals that would drive that and cancel those goals, so that you clean up and clean out those parts of your mind. So those would be some of the options for which worksheets that I would see. And it might be an opportunity, you know, if you look back into your childhood or early family history, you know, if there was ever any, if there were ever any relationship issues where there was infidelity within the family, there might be some work to do around infidelity, you know. Cancel the thought, but maybe if mom and dad, if there was something going on there that was in out of line with really being in integrity in their relationship as a child, there might be some leftover energetic patterns to be cleared out from having observed that and the challenges that offered to a child. So it would be some of the options, some of the things that I would, you know, if I were doing those worksheets, that would be the direction I'd be going. integrity from him or approval from him, or, you know, if there are some old wounds from, you know, whatever the reasoning was that you broke up with him or he broke up with you, however that went, there might be, this might be the opportunity to get some clarity and clean up those parts of your mind around that relationship. So, you know, pretty much any situation that brings things up can be, there can be a wide variety of worksheets to be done that help to clean up this carbon-based memory system. So I hope that makes sense and helps.
She said thank you very much.
Any other thoughts, Vicki? Honored and delighted.
Not on that one, but back.
We're down to the last.
Yeah, we've just got three minutes. Back to the one of how people perceive you. You know, whereas, say, you may have to, let's say that you hold fear and someone else holds anger. And you can take care of forgiving, you know, what brings up the fear in you. And then the others may still act the same way, say that they still act angry. But they're needing feedback to show them what they need to work on. And if they don't get that feedback from you, they will change or they'll go do it to somebody else so that they can get that feedback from them. So, yes, it can change your world. It's like we used to play a game as a child called tug of war or tug of rope. And you'd be holding one end and the other person holding the other end and you're pulling back and forth. And if you drop your end of the rope, then it changes their game whether they want it to or not.
Absolutely. So we'll breathe with you. We've just got a minute or so left, so let's just take a moment to take a couple of deep breaths together, tap into that active presence of love that is our true human life. And as you tap into that presence of love that you are, allow yourself to breathe that love into and through every cell in your structure and out into the world. The melody line from the song, "What the World Needs Now is Love." And to recognize that each and every one of us is qualified to offer that energy. And we're qualified not because of any sort of logic or reason. The only reason is because that's what we are. And sadly, we don't live in a culture that has encouraged us to practice, to a large degree at least, bringing that presence of love into the world, especially where there's conflict. You know, how many parents teach their children how to fight? Oh, you got to protect yourself. And of course, the best way to attract attack is to have a great defense ready to go. And that energy of defense literally is an actual energy that is a measurable energy wave that leaves, radiates from us, and will draw someone who wants to play the game of attack and defense. When we drop out of that game, then human life becomes a whole different process. And we're here to support you living in that process and cleaning up any part of you that would take you out of the truth of who you are. So thank you for joining us.